If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
So treat them the same exact way as you treat someone here. I think that is very, very important. We have the most success with the companies that actually do that.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Bob LaChance is the founder and CEO of premier virtual assistant staffing company, Riva Global. He specializes in helping customers automate their business through the use of trained real estate virtual assistants. Bob acquired his first flip in 2004 and has since completed over 800 real estate transactions. His entrepreneurial drive has led him to start two successful real estate coaching programs, two technology companies, and various real estate products. Bob, welcome to the show.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. Excited to jump on the use of virtual assistants, and that's kind of what we want to spend our time talking about today. It's a growing trend for lots of reasons, but really just want to dig in for you. Well, you know, why you started your company, how it's grown, you know, and then we can maybe get into some of the nuts and bolts of the practical use of virtual assistants.
Absolutely. So I first started, I started investing back in 2004. I'll give you a 2-second rundown of a little bit of my story. Retired hockey player, played 8 years professionally. So left school early after I was 2 classes short of getting my degree. So I figured, hey, you know what? Instead of going back to school, I might as well jump into an industry where there's no barriers of entry. So that was real estate investing. So right when I retired, and you could stop me once I get going. I'm up in Northeast, so I talk a little fast. But so a 2-second rundown, I'll keep rocking and rolling on that. So I got into real estate 2004, did my first flip. Then I got my first mentor slash coach, turned into a partner. Right about that time, which I think is absolutely imperative in any industry, whether it's, you know, real estate investing, whether it's commercial, whether it's whatever it is. Huge advocate on mentorship, etc. Right, you know, I attribute anything that I've accomplished now to what happened with mentors and coaches. So I think it's really, really important. So I just wanted to make sure I added that in there. So 2005, ended up partnering with one partner that I had for 10 years. And then through those years, we were doing short sale transactions. We did a ton of the short sale transactions. Ended up, like I said, becoming partners. Then we started a real estate short sale education program around the end of 2005. Then 2007, we helped found one of the biggest education companies on the real estate retail side, or not the retail side, the investor side in 2007. Fast forward, while we were both investing in short sales, also doing wholesales, hotels, everything, you know, you name it, lending money. We've done everything throughout the years. Also, you know, I currently own a couple of syndications, etc. 2014, I decided that there was a huge need in the market for all of us real estate investors or professionals, I should say. And that was, we only had so much time in our day to do certain tasks, right? We're going 100 miles an hour to try to flip properties, to try to, you know, a lot of investors start with just, you know, wholesaling, rehabbing, and then they jump into commercial, right? But we're running to be able to compile a lot of money to be able to invest into those commercial deals or buy and holds, whatever they are. So the huge need was affordable help. So I got introduced in 2013 to what a virtual assistant was. 2014, I launched my first virtual assistant company because of the need out there in the industry and all the students that we were coaching as well. Not only my own business, but their business. And then, so fast forward 7 years and here we are today. I know that's a quick story, but I know we have a limited time.
No, that's great. That's a great rundown on kind of your background and bio. I mean, anybody who's listening to this, I've been right where you are, and my gosh, they're doing all of those different facets in real estate. I mean, yeah, you just can't keep up. You can't keep up. The administrative burdens will wear you out. So you started this company. Are you still an active real estate investor now, or are you really more just focusing? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do a little both. Yeah. I'll give you a little, just a 2-second again. a little bit, just a highlight of what we do. We have currently, we have on the residential side, we're building our portfolio, single families, multifamilies up every single day. We have, I'm looking on the board right now, we have 34 properties in our contract right now. We use our virtual assistants to drive all the business in. We could actually have another, if you want to do another one of these, I'll give you my whole model and what we do. But yeah, we currently use our virtual assistants to actually handle a lot of our business, part of our business. So yep, I'm current right now.
That's awesome, man. Good for you. So tell me, what's the process like? I mean, just walk us through the basics of the process, and then I've got some really kind of nuts and bolts questions for you.
Absolutely. So you mean the process of how our virtual assistant company works, or process of our business? I want to make sure I anchor towards.
Right. So how does someone determine what tasks they can offload to a virtual assistant? Because coming from this side of the table, maybe there's things that we don't even know about that we could do. Or, you know, we haven't thoroughly thought through, you know, how to, I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, I need help, but it's another thing to figure out how to get that help to do what you need them to do.
Yep. Great question. And that's one of the common challenges that, you know, I found over the years. Even those are the same challenges I had when I first started using virtual assistants myself, right? It's like, all right, I know I need a bunch of stuff done, a bunch of tasks, but what do I have them handle first? So one of the things that I recommend is we all have to be crystal clear on what those tasks are. So I recommend, and it takes a little time to do it, so take about a 3-week time frame. So grab your calendar, whether you use Google Calendar, whatever kind of calendar you have, and start time blocking exactly the tasks that you do every single day. And you'll start realizing there's a trend. After 1 week, you're like, oh, these are $10 hour tasks I got to get off of my plate, because, you know, the old saying, $10 hour tasks will give you a $10 hour bank account, right? If you keep doing those tasks, that's what's going to give you a smaller bank account. So those are the things after 3 weeks, you'll start seeing exactly what you need to offshoot. The revenueing, the highest generating revenue, the non-performing tasks, non-revenue generating tasks are the ones that you definitely have to outsource right away and get rid of them off your plate.
How do you train? I mean, is everybody, when you guys hire virtual assistants, are they all overseas? Are they a mixture of overseas and stateside, or what's that look like?
So we're all in the Philippines. So I started my company, like I said, back in 2014 in the Philippines. So we set up a recruiting sourcing department over in the Philippines. We also have a training department on all of real estate investing. And we also have, just to give you a little bit of my blueprint, it's recruiting sourcing. Next is once they pass all the recruiting scorecards, everything that we do in reference to making sure that they qualify, which capacity, and I could go through a checklist. And then they go to our training department. We have a month of training to make sure that they're the best of the best. And then they go to our placements department. And what that looks like is it's kind of like Match.com once they get through the placements department, because we have our sales team here, our admissions team here in the U.S. Someone raises their hand and say, hey, Bob, I want to use your service. So now we put them together with our placements team. So then they match you with the perfect virtual assistant.
Right. Wow. I mean, that's it. Just building out that pipeline that pipeline from them onboarding the person working for your company all the way through to being placed. I mean, that's something that's kind of crosses over all facets of real estate investing. How long did it take you to kind of figure out that series of steps for them to go through and say, hey, this is the model we like to work with?
Yeah. You know, we have my background in starting some real estate education programs as well has helped create those models. We've also, when I first started, we worked with a company out of the Philippines that kind of gave us the model of what to do and actually how they did it. But we learned from that and we added to it and perfected it and bettered the process.
Right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. One of the things that I've commonly heard from, and maybe this is the shortcoming on the person who is thinking to hire a virtual assistant, but commonly heard is that it is more of a, they're not creative, like you're not hiring creatives, you're hiring order takers. What do you have to say about that thought?
So we do disc profiling, and here's the best way for me to answer this. No matter where you are in the world, not everybody's the same. Sure. So you have to go through resume after resume after resume and weed through who that perfect person is for you. That's why we go through hundreds of applications every single week to get to the top 5%, top 8%, to where we feel that they're going to be a great fit for the clientele that comes through our system.
Right, right. Yeah, that's interesting. So I guess you would say, to answer my question myself, I guess, you know, more explicitly, you would say that there are the creatives out there that can handle things like, you know, for me, one of the needs I have, we'll just use a very real live example, a marketing person. My thinking, and help me square up my thinking here, is that it's going to be really tough to hire somebody outside of the U.S. to handle all of, and the marketing person I'm looking for, somebody for this podcast. So, I mean, I need somebody that goes across all channels, doing everything, you know, getting out, plugging in with listeners and guests on Facebook and LinkedIn and making creative art and shortening up videos and clipping this stuff. I'm thinking, gosh, that's got to be impossible to hire somebody that is not from the States to do that. But it doesn't sound like that's the case.
Yeah, we have a podcast called The Friday Coffee Break as well on Friday, and we have our VAs do exactly what you're just talking about. But it does take, you know, not all... It's just like Americans compared to anybody else. Not all people are created equal. So what we have to do is run them through some of the we go through DISC profiling as well to make sure their profile fits what we're looking for. So if I want someone on the phone that's hammering the phones all day long, I want to make sure that they're either DISC, they're high D or high I,
right.
which is important because that's just the personality that they have, right? And in one of the question that you asked, I think it's very important for us because I made this mistake. You want to make sure that your description and the tasks that you want done, if you want to use your podcast as an example, make sure that you document each step in the process and then you could outsource it, right? Because I've made that mistake. I'm like, well, here, have all of this, but I didn't train them on my little niche stuff that I really wanted done. So that's what I found that helps out.
How do you, if you don't have that, you know, so for me, you know, social media outreach is just not my game. I don't know how to use all these platforms. I don't want to know. So how do you train or how do you hire someone to take on those tasks that maybe you don't know what all those steps necessarily should or could be?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the internet. Not, when you're talking about marketing, marketing's a different beast. Right. Marketing is a different kind of animal in and of itself. Right.
Sure.
We have Amy Preston in our on our team. That's in Atlanta, Georgia, not in our office. Right. And we have virtual assistants that work with Amy and Preston that actually make everything run in the background. So It's really us learning those things. And a lot of the tasks in reference to what works incredible, you know, for let's just say property management as an example. Right. You know, we have virtual assistants. We have clients that use them for out of the leasing department, doing background checks, accounts payable specialists, accounts receivable specialists, like credit card validation on the property management side. As an example, they also do acquisitions. Virtual assistants are incredible at acquisitions. You know, pulling lists, skip tracing, whether texting, calling. Right, driving leads into your business to then where you could pick up the phone and turn those into money. Those are just some examples, right? Others are inbound lead take, you know, mainline. You have different probably terminologies in your office, right? For on the management side, you know, you have mainline because many individuals, operators are syndicating, and they have maybe an owner that's going to be calling you with an update, or you also own your own property. So you're getting tenant calls, right? There's so many tenant calls you get, you know, complaining about the third floor because the toilet backed up and it's going into their unit. Do you want to take those calls in your cell phone or do you want someone else to take them? Those are just an example. You got leasing, lease renewals, collections, et cetera.
Wow. That's really cool. And I guess how many are on or inside of your virtual assistant company right now? How many employees are in there?
So right now we have, I think today, and I try to be as accurate as I can. I mean, anyone asks me a question, I answer it. I think we're at 392 right now. So
wow.
I know there's a lot of people out there that's, you know, it's all relative. So we're consistently growing every day.
Right. No, that's super cool. What are some other things or some things that you see people doing right that are using virtual assistants that we should be copying?
I think it's very important to make them part of your team. It's absolutely imperative. It's kind of like if you're working with a virtual employee or a virtual 1099 investor, it doesn't matter. If they're not in your office, you have to make them part of your team. So when you have weekly meetings, include them in, right? set them up on a bonus structure, just like we do for, you know, American-based individuals. So treat them the same exact way as you treat someone here. I think that is very, very important. We have the most success with the companies that actually do that.
That's interesting. That's interesting. And I'm assuming, I mean, because you're talking about quite a bit of a time change. What is the Philippines, 14-ish hours ahead?
It's totally opposite. So right now, let's say if it's 8 in the morning, it's 8 at night there.
Right, right.
So it's totally opposite.
Yep. Right. So I guess a lot of these people are working overnight when we're working during the day in order to participate mm-hmm. in team meetings and into.
Yeah, it's let me add to that. It's very standard though. So the industry there is a call center industry. So people are used to working at night. So mm-hmm. the graveyard shift, that's very standard over there, very common. So it's just like working during the day here. That's the industry over there.
Wow. Wow. Hats off to him, man. That's just something I'm not built for. That's, golly, come 9 o'clock at night. I'm done. So that's awesome. Good for you guys. I guess, what's it look like to hire someone and bring them on? Are they someone that is then on our team? Are we working with you guys? Are we paying you guys that you guys pay them, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we take care of all the HR. We actually pay for all of our virtual assistants, insurance. We do all the paperwork in the back end. So you pay us and then we pay them. So in any bonus that you want to give them, 100% goes right to them. So it's a really cool setup. We also have a kind of a management overview and a manager over each account. So what that looks like is, and I gave you our model. It goes from sourcing and recruiting to training, to placements, and then it goes to our operations team. So we have one, what we call a client service manager, that manages that pair. So for you personally, if you call me up and say, Bob, you know what, I want to get a virtual assistant to run my main line to answer owner questions and to answer tenant questions. So you would actually be working directly one-on-one with that virtual assistant, but we also put a manager on top of your relationship. We have a lot of clients that want to add on, that say, hey, you know what, you guys are doing a great job. How do we add on another virtual assistant? Mm-hmm. So they will manage that process. So what we do is you pay us as a company, and then we handle all of the HR and all of the back end on how that actually runs.
Right, right. No, and that, I mean, what a seamless deal for those of us hiring you guys to do that. I mean, because that's one of the things that, especially as you're growing, as you're scaling, bringing on people, especially, and I hate to say it, but especially stateside, it's a total pain, because now you've got all these reporting and compliance and tax filings. And I mean, then you're hiring you bring one person on and you've got to bring on a third party payroll company just because you can't keep up with the payroll. It's like,
it's actually funny. It's funny you say that, because we're on my real estate side, it's growing, right? So stateside, you know, we're going through a company like Wise Hire, right? And we have to sift through all of the applications. And it's kind of funny, because we're hiring stateside because we have a bunch of virtual assistants working for us. But the roles we need internally are roles that need to be in our office, right? Right. So it's kind of funny. We're going through that same process, and it is a pain.
Right. It absolutely is a pain. I'm curious, since we brought this up, what are these roles that you're hiring in office that you can't use virtual assistants for?
Yep. So we have an internal office assistant. We have someone that's going to be running to pick up our lock boxes, someone who's going to meet people at properties, and we're actually hiring in-house disposition person who's actually going to be working also as a real estate agent and selling some of our wholesale deals, that's going to have to literally meet people at the property to let them in.
Right. That's tough to, those are tough things to outsource from the Philippines. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Bob, I've really enjoyed this. I've learned a lot about virtual assistants and kind of how this is structured. Let's jump here into the final four if we can. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Take things one step at a time. You know, real estate investing, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme at all. It's not a scheme. It's a long-term wealth-building strategy. So, you know, I work with a lot of different investors out there that, you know, maybe have started in wholesaling, started rehab. They want to get to commercial. It just takes time. It takes one property at a time. So shiny object syndrome will make you go broke.
That's for sure. That's for sure. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you are doing to stay on top of your game?
Yeah, I consistently read books and listen to podcasts. And also we work with different coaches. I'm huge on reinvesting in masterminds, reinvesting in education, reinvesting in personal coaching. So I do that on a consistent basis.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
We actually, with Riva Global, we do what's called a Helping Hands project. So every year we give away to a charity. And our last charity, when pre-COVID happened, we gave to called a Home for the Angels, and it was abandoned babies. So we helped, that fund out and that charity out.
Wow. I didn't know that there were funds or charities that took care of things like that. That's amazing. Bob, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. Check out our website at revaglobal.com, REVAglobal.com. If anyone wants to talk to any one of our team members, there's a strategy session button there that you could definitely talk to somebody. You can check us out on Facebook. We also have a podcast called the Friday Coffee Break Podcast. Myself and our chief marketing officer and one of our executives and one of my good buddies and very, very successful investor, Pat Precourt as well.
That's awesome. Bob, thanks so much for your time. Do appreciate it.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.